This week on Making Contact.
The Iraqis, with the help of the coalition forces and other friends, have helped to start building a brighter future for Iraq.
This is probably the most outrageous media corruption scandal in U.S. history.
You've heard of WMDs, but what about VNRs? What are VNRs, and how is the government using them as weapons of mass deception? On this week's edition, we'll take a look at video news releases and the VNR industry. We'll see how California's governor is using them to promote the state's policies on workers. And an interview with a public relations expert who's been called a fake reporter for producing VNRs for the Bush administration. I'm Justin Beck, your host this week on Making Contact, an international radio program creating connections between people, vital ideas, and important information. In the March 13th edition of the Sunday New York Times, reporters David Barstow and Robin Stein took readers into a world where government-produced reports disappear into a maze of satellite transmissions, web portals, and network feeds, only to emerge cleansed on the other side as independent journalism. According to the front page story, during the last 4 years, at least 20 federal agencies have spent at least $250 million on public relations contracts during the Bush administration's first term. Some of that money has gone toward video news releases, or VNRs, which have been shown on hundreds of television stations to millions of viewers in the U.S. The Government Accountability Office, the investigative arm of Congress, held that the VNRs may constitute improper covert propaganda. About 2 weeks before the article in the New York Times, which, granted, is no stranger to fake news, the Los Angeles Times reported on a growing controversy over VNRs produced by California Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger's administration. One such VNR about the state's policy on workers' meal breaks was accompanied by the following text for a suggested reporter lead-in. The California Division of Labor Standards Enforcement issued emergency regulations that would give business owners and employers more flexibility involving meal and rest breaks, allowing California businesses to better manage staff and offer employees more choices in the workplace. The proposed rules seek to eliminate confusion and ambiguities in the law for both employees and employers. It might not sound like a controversial issue, but as Making Contact's Pauline Bartolone reports, these VNRs leave out voices of opposition, and California's labor unions are making the Schwarzenegger administration think twice before airing what critics call a propaganda piece.
Employees are often forced to take lunch breaks when they don't want them. Now, under new proposed regulations, workers in California would have the opportunity to take a meal break before finishing the fifth hour of a shift or even later.
This video news release about controversial meal break regulation changes proposed by the Schwarzenegger administration was produced and distributed by the State Labor and Workforce Development Agency.
It would mean they could eat when they're hungry and not when the government tells them.
The three-minute VNR was fed over satellite to TV stations for use in their newscasts. The video was packaged as a complete news story, narrated by a former news reporter who interviewed workers and government officials speaking in favor of the meal break regulation change. Most stations did not air the VNR in its entirety, but the footage was aired on a handful of stations the night before a public hearing on the issue. In the video, Labor Department spokesperson Jose Millan speaks in support of the regulation change.
The government tells them.
The employee then has the flexibility to determine whether or not they want to eat earlier or later or skip lunch altogether in order to run personal errands and get off work earlier.
Assemblyman Paul Koretz, outspoken critic of the VNRs.
It gave the text for a broadcaster to read as if it was written by the station. Then it showed the administration making the arguments. And then it showed a number of interviews with employees as if they had done the due diligence and gone out and talked to employees in a number of settings. And lo and behold, they all agreed that their lunch breaks should be taken away, and this was a great idea. It made it look as if everybody was on the same side when in reality, this is an extremely divisive issue where labor and everyone that represents employees are fighting against the administration's position.
In fact, three labor groups were so outraged about government-sponsored VNRs, they filed a lawsuit against several state agencies and individuals in the Schwarzenegger administration in late March 2005. The unions charged them with violation of a state law banning the use of public funds to pay for government propaganda.
Arnold is trying to bring Hollywood to government.
Art Pulaski is secretary treasurer of the California Labor Federation, one of the plaintiffs in the lawsuit. He says the reason for the suit is not just the government's use of propaganda, but because the one-sided VNRs are only the latest in Schwarzenegger's attack on workers' rights.
They're trying to take rest and meal breaks away from California workers, and we are fighting back, and we are fighting back in any way that we can. It's really an outrageous thing, because we've had this since 1947, and nobody, no other Republican, has ever said, let's do away with a meal break. That's what the end product of this will be.
The other filers in the suit include the California Nurses Association and United Healthcare Workers West, which altogether represent almost 2.5 million workers in the state. As Shum Preston, spokesperson for the California Nurses Association, watches a video news release about the proposed repeal of the nurse-to-patient ratio in California, he says the state-produced VNRs are intentionally presenting one-sided reports disguised as news. Preston says the VNR deceives viewers who don't closely follow the nurse-to-patient ratio controversy. As a result, the video amounts to propaganda, information produced by the state, favorable toward state policy, meant to sway public opinion in favor of state policy.
To increase his poll numbers and to try to get out ahead of this issue, right now the public has a pretty clear understanding of this issue. HMOs, healthcare corporations, and Governor Schwarzenegger want to cut the number of nurses in California hospitals. That's the facts. That's all we need to get out there. People don't like that. He's trying to muddy the issue here.
The plaintiffs in the suit say California agencies are shamelessly taking a page from the Bush administration, which have produced a long series of fake news. The unions say the videos further the Schwarzenegger administration's anti-worker policies. The state, however, defends its use of VNRs and says they have been used in the private sector for years. Rick Rice is undersecretary of the Labor and Workforce Development Agency and one of the high-ranking officials named in the lawsuit. Rice says video news releases fulfill the government's obligation to educate its citizens about policy changes.
Just like in a regular press release that we send out to the printed medium, we do a video news release. The exact same format. One is meant for television, one is meant for print.
But how much taxpayer money actually goes into a VNR? Rice says the meal break VNR cost the state around $1,600 and got the governor's message out to 1.5 million viewers, what he calls good bang for the buck. The California Labor and Workforce Development Agency has its own studios and staff for the production of state media. He says the VNRs are not meant to be aired in their entirety, even though they're packaged that way, and that it's the broadcaster's responsibility to adhere to ethical journalistic standards whenever handling them. Rick Rice.
They know going in that what they're going to be picking up at that time is a video news release from this agency. As I was told by a broadcaster, you'd have to be pretty stupid not to know what you're getting, to the point where if you're that dumb, you shouldn't have the job.
Many working Californians can benefit from the proposed regulations because the change provides real-life relief.
The use of VNRs by California's governor is just the tip of the iceberg. Assemblyman Paul Koretz worries that VNRs aren't new, nor is the impact of the government's use of doublespeak in pushing policies.
I mean, it's 20 years later, but I think 1984 is definitely here. We have an administration that calls their anti-environment plans, you know, clear skies, and their plan to dismantle the public education system as No Child Left Behind. And then you have the government, I mean, almost something you would have expected in, you know, Russia during the height of the Cold War, producing their own news story.
Despite growing criticism, the Schwarzenegger administration says it will continue to produce and distribute VNRs. Assembly Speaker Fabian Nunez is calling on the Federal Communications Commission to investigate. For Making Contact, I'm Pauline Bartolone.
No word yet on whether California's governor has any plans for a VNR about the VNR scandal.
chroma key, and we have that over there to the right. And then there's a bank of monitors and a lot of instrumentation they use. And get
That's Dan Rosenheim, news director at KPIX Channel 5 in San Francisco, a local CBS affiliate. He's giving me a tour of the station's news studio. I've come here to ask him about Channel 5's policy on video news releases.
And then this is the ENG, our electronic control room, where all our satellite feeds come in.
Rosenheim takes me into a room where operators can downlink video from sources all over the world. A constant flow of material from the CBS network, other stations, or straight from the government.
Affiliate stations, satellite feeds, VNRs would come in here too. And are fed down.
Would it be possible to actually go grab a VNR from somewhere right now?
We don't have anything coming in right now, but I'm sure if I had an operator here, they could look around and find material. Most of the VNRs we get come from commercial sources. In fact, until recently, I wasn't even aware, and I'm not sure many of us were, that government was even in the VNR business. When the latest controversy surfaced over the Schwarzenegger administration releasing or providing VNRs that masqueraded it as news, I asked someone here to investigate what we'd received and when it had come in, and they couldn't find any record of our even having received it.
Two New York cops charged with moonlighting for the mob.
This is the top of the newscast. It's what we call the pre-show. It's where they mentioned.
Back in his office, Rosenheim is eager to show me a recent example of KPIX's own reporting on the VNR controversy.
Here it is, the video news release produced by Arnold Schwarzenegger's administration, using your tax dollars to push the governor's agenda. Today, some lawmakers said that's crossing the line.
This is propaganda. I mean, this is propaganda produced at taxpayers' expense.
The KPIX report says several stations in the state aired the VNR, but doesn't name which stations. Rosenheim says the video never stood a chance of reaching his station's viewers.
I can't imagine that happening.
That doesn't mean you won't ever see government-produced material on a Channel 5 newscast. It happens only very rarely, Rosenheim insists. But when they do air, he says they're always labeled. But what happens when one-sided VNRs promoting government policy are produced and distributed in such a way that allows TV stations to show them unlabeled in their entirety? That has the effect of further undermining public trust in journalism, says Rosenheim, making it even harder for journalists to maintain their credibility.
I happen to think that credibility is the most important thing we have, that we can produce the most technically flawless newscast with wonderful story ideas, beautifully executed. But if people don't fundamentally believe we're fair-minded and that we're honest and that we're doing a straight job of reporting, they're not going to watch us. We're not going to achieve the result that we desire, which is to inform people.
That sentiment is echoed by many in the news business amid the growing VNR controversy. For example, the faculty at Boston University's Journalism School issued a resolution condemning, in the faculty's words, the Bush administration's use of phony reporters hired by the government. The resolution calls on both the administration to stop producing VNRs and on broadcasters to stop airing them.
Living in a free Iraq means living in a beautiful Iraq, where there are many job opportunities and all necessary needs that humans look for.
During the 2 years since the U.S. invaded and occupied Iraq, the federal government continues to put a positive spin on a variety of controversial issues like the war, or education policy, or meat inspection in Iowa, using video news releases. Take this VNR, for example, called The New Iraq, Progress and the Path Forward, that features inspirational music and dubbed over voices of some of the 26 million Iraqis who are now living in what the State Department calls freedom.
The Iraqis, with the help of the coalition forces and other friends, have helped to start building a brighter future for Iraq.
This is probably the most outrageous and extensive media corruption scandal in U.S. history.
John Stauber is director of the Madison, Wisconsin-based Center for Media and Democracy, a watchdog group that for several years has been keeping a close eye on VNRs. Along with author Sheldon Rampton, Stauber co-wrote the 1995 book Toxic Sludge is Good for You, Lies, Damn Lies, and the Public Relations Industry.
In 1995, when we looked at it, the industry, PR industry, was saying there were over 4,000 separate video news release fake news stories produced and distributed. That was a decade ago, and it's been a growth decade for this industry. And it's also been a growth decade in terms of how much airtime is there to fill up with so-called news.
At the same time, many local TV stations are trying to expand their so-called news holes. They're cutting back on budgets and laying off reporters. That opens the door for more of what Stauber likes to call fake news.
TV producers and TV news directors will simply deny that their stations are airing these. And the New York Times, to their credit, did their homework, bought the information. It's out there to be bought if you have the money, documenting the use of these particular government fake news, video news releases on these stations, and said to the stations, well, you may think you're not using them, but here's the documented proof. We took this right off your station.
Stauber and the Center for Media and Democracy, along with the media reform group Free Press, have launched a petition campaign. They're asking Congress and the FCC to recognize the Government Accountability Office's ruling that VNRs may constitute covert propaganda.
But I think what might be a more effective avenue is actually organizing citizens on the ground to go to TV stations in their community and say, we don't want to see fake news. We don't care if it comes from the American Lung Association or Monsanto or Shell or the State Department. We want real reporting. If you're going to use this fake news, we want you to label it, and we want you to sign this citizen's pledge that your station will either keep this stuff off the air or will label it.
The White House has come under fire for federal agencies issuing what are called video news releases that promote administration.
Meanwhile, broadcast news continues to report on the controversy, while the Bush administration puts its own spin on the flap. As aired on National Public Radio's All Things Considered, President Bush at a press conference defended the use of VNRs, so long as they don't lie or promote a certain agenda.
There is a Justice Department opinion that says these pieces are within the law so long as they're based upon facts, not advocacy. And I expect our agencies to adhere to that ruling.
I recently sat down with a former park ranger named Sean Smith, who now works for an environmental organization in San Francisco. Earlier this year, the Blue Water Network, along with another group called Friends of the Earth, sent a Freedom of Information Act request to several federal agencies and got back from the Department of Interior at least two recordings of government-funded video news releases. Smith and I watch a report that features talking heads from the U.S. Geological Survey, but what isn't clear just by watching this video is that the reporter was in fact paid by the USGS to produce this segment.
To avoid mosquito bites, and work by scientists from the U.S. Geological Survey and other organizations will help keep public health threats such as West Nile virus to a minimum. This is Porter Versfeldt reporting.
For the USGS, which you don't hear in the VNR, this video can be seen on the Friends of the Earth website, where Porter Versfeldt is referred to as a fake reporter. I ask Smith what he calls Versfeldt's type of quote-unquote reporting.
We've used all those terms, fake news, mock news. Propaganda obviously has a certain type of stigma associated to it, a connotation that I think in some instances turns people off. But in many cases, I think that's simply what it is. It's a certain view on an issue, and it's being promoted by a government agency to, in my opinion, sway public views about that particular issue. I thought there was one real interesting statement in here. And it's subtle, but it kind of gets at what we're talking about here. I think it was this one right here, right after this gentleman.
Much of the truly important work takes place away from the public eye.
That's exactly what's happening in these VNRs. Much of the truly important work, much of the important effort is happening out of the public eye. It reminds me of what was happening at the end of the First World War, when newspapers in Germany were reporting that they were still having great success, even though their leaders knew that the war was over and they were going to lose. It's got similar themes to that.
You're listening to Making Contact, a production of the National Radio Project. If you'd like more information or to order cassette or CD copies of this program, please call 800-529-5736. You can also visit us on the web at radioproject.org. In a few moments, we'll hear an interview with video producer Porter Versfeldt. Tracking down a so-called fake reporter proved easier than I had anticipated. I did an internet search on Porter Versfeldt and found a couple of his personal homepages. Pretty soon, I had a phone number for the man, who later told me he charged the U.S. Geological Survey $5,000 to produce its VNR on the West Nile virus. In his online resume, Versfeldt lists off skills like public relations, advertising, marketing, TV news journalism, video production, and script writing. His selected accomplishments include working for clients like Fox News, ABC News, CNN, Ford Motor Company, Burger King, Coca-Cola, and a show called Encounters with the Unexplained. Versfeldt also takes credit for creating the first sales training video series for the flooring industry and for supplying competitive corporate intelligence for an Argentinian oil company. One question that came to my mind after seeing his VNR on the West Nile virus, is Porter Versfeldt your real name?
It's a good question. Yeah, Porter Leroy Versfeldt III, that's me. And the reason why you heard my voice on the report, to be quite honest, I'm a businessman as well. You know, I run a business, and you know, I just didn't see the point in hiring anybody else to do the voiceover and paying them a few hundred dollars. I thought, well, heck, I used to do broadcasting. I have a decent voice, so I'm told. So I was able to save those few hundred dollars and keep it in my own pocket. So, and the client had no problem with that. They thought it was great. You know, it brings up a good point. We weren't trying to hoodwink anybody. I actually used my real name. You know, I believe I signed out or tagged out, as they say in TV news. This is Porter Versfeldt reporting, and that indeed was and is who I am.
And Porter, you've worked for, you've freelanced for a number of places, and one of those includes National Public Radio, All Things Considered, back in the late 70s. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, that was a great opportunity. I freelanced for National Public Radio and All Things Considered while I was still in college at the University of Missouri. University of Missouri also owns an NBC affiliate. It's the only journalism school in the world that owns a network, a valid network TV affiliate station.
You describe yourself as part showman.
Yeah, that when you're doing public relations, especially video news releases, I mean, you have to make them interesting. I'm not saying showmanship in sort of the Barnum and Bailey kind of way, you know, back in that era when, you know, you would outright lie to get people inside your circus tent and buy a ticket to watch the circus. I still strongly believe in using basic core fundamental old-fashioned, if you might want to say that, journalistic standards. Before the New York Times article came out and all the national discussion on video news releases, I'd really not thought of them as being controversial. The government's been doing this kind of thing for a long time, just that the technology and the formats and the means of distribution have changed.
What do you say to people who call a VNR, such as the one you did for USGS, what do you say to people who call it propaganda? Because isn't this just news about the government, paid for by the government?
Well, by the government and indirectly by the taxpayers. Are VNRs fake news? I laugh at that because
What about propaganda?
Propaganda, yeah. I don't see it as propaganda. In its broadest sense, yeah, it is propaganda, but I think it's good propaganda because if you create these VNRs with the right motivations, you're trying to tell the people who are paying your agency to do whatever it is you do, like the U.S. Geological Survey, you're communicating with the public to let them know what it is you do.
What's your reaction to being called a fake reporter?
I think that's funny. I've been called many things, but never been called that. I can understand their point of view, but I don't agree, mainly because I have a long proven history of award-winning journalism background, both in radio and television and in print. I have that foundation. I guarantee you that most of us in the business, especially those of us who have a strong foundation in actual, real, bona fide journalism, as I do in my earlier career, that if there's ever a hint of anything that might be untrue or half-true or whatever, I would really question my clients on that. And I would advise them, you're going to get caught. It's not worth lying about. It's not worth trying to pull the wool over people's eyes. Tell the truth. And that's why I advise to clients who are going through major controversies, don't say no comment. Get out there. Get your CEO, your top people out there. Show a face and, be truthful about it. And it's going to have better positive results for your organization in the long run than trying to, lie or stretch the truth or something like that.
How's your business been since this controversy erupted? Has it changed at all?
Not at all. I've been thinking recent months before all this controversy started in trying to specialize more in video news releases. And I see this controversy going on right now as just a blip. It'll fade away.
If perhaps it's not a good idea to air a video news release in its entirety, why are they sent out that way, as in a form that they could be aired in their entirety?
Because there are some stations who will do that. In the last few years, local TV news from the number one market in New York to the smallest station in middle of nowhere, North Dakota, they've been increasing the amount of hours they devote to local news. They don't have the staff or resources to fill all that time with just reports from their local reporters that have been created locally. It comes from the networks they're affiliated with. It comes from other news services they pay a subscription fee to get access to. And it comes, frankly, from video news releases. The station will say, well, we want to offer our viewers more and more news and so forth, and they deserve it. And that's true. But I think the primary motivation is, the station owners, they want to sell more commercial time. They want to make more money. And they know that news sells. People love to watch TV news.
That was video producer Porter Versfeldt. That's it for this edition of Making Contact. Thanks for listening. Special thanks to Renita Pitts, Shanina Shoemate,
Kevin Moore,
and Priscilla Barber. Our theme music is by the Charlie Hunter Trio. Making Contact is an independent production made possible by generous gifts from people in the community. We are committed to providing a unique forum for voices and opinions not often heard in the mass media. For a cassette or CD copy of program number 1505, call the National Radio Project at 800-529-5736. That's 800-529-5736. Or visit our website at radioproject.org. Lisa Rudman is our executive director, Pauline Bartolone, associate producer, Dorian Taylor, outreach and distribution, Esther Manila, office manager, Tom Evans, development associate, Norman Solomon, senior advisor, David Barsamian, national advisor, and I'm your host and associate producer, Justin Beck.